This morning, for a short devotion, I'll be reading from Isaiah 40, and a familiar passage that we probably all have read a number of times, and it talks about comfort. The word comfort is an amazing word. It means to console, to have compassion. It even means to pity. But to be comforted goes beyond just a simple feeling. It requires an action, and often an action of significant effort, an action of significant sacrifice. In order for one to be comforted, another needs to intervene to alleviate a specific pain or fear. There must be a comforter. And we as Christians are to comfort one another with prayer and encouragement and sharing God's word. But we have a greater comforter. We as born-again believers know that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, as the Bible tells us. And this was promised by Jesus, that when he would go away, he would send his comforter. We read of that in John 14 and 15 and 16, as well as a number of other passages in the New Testament. It's through the prayer that God ministers to us by his Holy Spirit to console, strengthen, and even encourage us. But long before the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send the Comforter to all who would believe, the Lord revealed to Isaiah that comfort would come to his people through a Savior, one who would pardon the sin of man and renew those who trusted in him. And so if you turn to Isaiah 40, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 8. Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. And the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This chapter starts twice. Isaiah says comfort. Anytime there's twice something said in repetition, there's a special emphasis, a significance, the undeniable fact that comfort was coming to the world because God declared it. It was coming to Jerusalem. As it was God's chosen people, he would reveal it to and through. And they were to be found looking and waiting for the Messiah. God was telling them comfort because their warfare was accomplished. That is also translated as their appointed time. The appointed time had come. This was not speaking of their war between Israel and its enemies, as Israel seemed like it was constantly at war, but against sin's power itself, the sting of death, for it would be pardoned for all who would believe. And just as Israel received double the punishment for their sins by the Lord promised that later in Isaiah 61, verse 7, that once back in the land they would receive double their portion, everlasting joy. This was also paralleled through the life of Job. We look at Job, a righteous man who lost everything and suffered greatly. But because he was a righteous man and followed the Lord blessed him doubly in the end. And it's interesting that the friends, we say friends in quotation maybe, of Job were constantly against him. And in Job 16, verse 1, Job calls them miserable comforters are you all. They were not comforters like the Lord. in which Job did find comfort. And so we read in Isaiah 40 in verse 3 that the sign to signify the coming of the Lord, a voice in the wilderness, which we know was fulfilled through John the Baptist, as we read in Matthew 3, verse 3. And who was John preparing the way for? Well, it says in verse 3, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He was preparing the way for our God, for Jesus, the one who exalts the humble and humbles the exalted, the one who straightened the crooked and made rough the plain. Crooked and rough are not positive adjectives. If someone's to call you crooked or rough, you probably wouldn't take that as a compliment. Or at least you shouldn't. Some people might, but they shouldn't. They're usually a negative connotation. They usually invoke the idea of corruption or unlawfulness, a disregard for law, and a disregard for others. The complete opposite of comfort, if you think about it. And namely, complete opposite of God's comfort. When Jesus comes again, as he has promised, he is coming to judge the unrighteous and establish peace on earth through his reign. The full glory of the Lord shall be revealed, as we read in verse 5. At Jesus' first coming, it was as God in the flesh. His glory was veiled in human flesh. And so many missed it. They didn't realize, or they didn't simply believe. And they should have, for he performed the miracles, and he was a righteous man by all accounts. They could not deny that he was the Son of God, and yet they did. The facts were there. And when Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there will be no mistaking who he is the second time. For it says in verse 5 that all flesh shall see him. They shall behold his glory together. It will be undeniable for believer or unbeliever. And verses 6 to 8, Isaiah observes that there certainly is beauty within God's creation. For at its origin, it was all created good. But because sin entered in, this beauty is temporary. It's deteriorating. All of creation is destined to die in order to be changed. Even the earth itself will be changed. It will be changed by God back into its created goodness. Not something man can prevent or accomplish, despite what you may hear about climate change. I don't deny that there's change in climate, there always is. But the fact that they believe it's man that's doing it, well, you just simply have to go to Genesis 8, verse 22, and it tells you that it's God that is in control. Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, the summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. They try to invoke fear and a political changes when we know that God is in control. And this is true for us as believers as well. We must die to sin and pride and be born again of the Spirit by believing in the Word of God. The Word of God, as we read last week in John 1, verse 1, is Jesus. He is the Word that was made flesh. And it's the Word of God shall stand forever. He is unchanging and eternal. And so as we wade through this often crooked and rough world, may we fix our eyes upon Jesus and be comforted and trust in him and know that his salvation and his plan stands forever. And may we be reminded of that during this Christmas time. Isaiah concludes in chapter 40, in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I think we can take great comfort in that, especially during this Christmas time.